Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are introducing a new company on the show, and in all fairness, a new company to the markets. Just listed February 22nd of this year. The company is called Golden Shield Resources, traded on the CSE under the symbol GSRI. We are chatting with the executive chairman and co-founder, Leo Hathaway. Golden Shield Resources is focused in Guyana. Three highly prospective, 100% owned projects, some with drill results being released even recently. This week, we have some drill results that we will be quickly touching on. But Leo, I really want to get a broad overview for our audience, since this is such a new company and one that, well, you have a lot of prospective land here that you do own in Guyana. Let's start off with the jurisdiction then. Three projects in Guyana. I understand there are majors active in the area, but give our listeners a little update on why you chose Guyana and what attracted you there, please.
Sure. I've always been interested in Guyana, principally because it's the same rocks as West Africa. And when you look at West Africa, there's been 275 million ounces of gold found. And in the Guyana Shield, there's only been 110 million ounces of gold. So I feel there's more to be found there. It's a mining jurisdiction. It's mining friendly. And I think it's very underexplored. So that's why we're excited to be there.
Well, let's walk through the three main projects that you hold as a company. And I guess let's start with the flagship, the Marudi project. That's where the majority of the historic drilling has been done, some of the recent drilling. Walk us through a high level of why you're excited about the Marudi project.
Well, Marudi is one of those projects that is very high grade. There was a historic resource of around about 350,000 ounces. When we went back and remodeled the geology, we found it was open to depth and open to the east. We went back and drilled, and we got 50 meters at 9.1 grams gold, which is an exceptional intercept. We're just going back to follow up on that now. That area, Mazoa Hill, is one of eight prospects on the property. We just drilled Toucan Creek, which is the second one, which was the news that came out today. And we're working our way through the remaining six and generating more as we speak. So there's lots to do, and it's an exciting property, both from grade and potential.
So, Leo, when I look over the historical resource of, about 350,000 ounces, I'm seeing that at a grade of just below 2 grams per ton gold. But some of the recent drill results have yielded this higher grade gold. What type of a system are you looking at here? And are there different systems at play because of the eight total targets that you have?
Right. That's a good question. And really, the answer revolves around whether you think of it as an open pit or an underground mine. So those grades you talked about in historic resource are diluted by waste rock when you take it out as an open pit. So we're looking at it very much as it's something that could be mined underground. And of course, that means you don't have to worry about stripping ratio and things like that. So you can also go deeper, and at the kind of grades we're drilling at Mazoa Hill, that's quite sufficient to support an underground operation.
Well, Leo, just walk us through. I mean, you've put the majority of the work so far out of the holes you've drilled at the Mazoa Hill and the Toucan Creek. Those are two of the eight prospects. Tell us about why those two were picked to start with. And then as far as the other eight areas that you're looking at, will those get some drilling in the year to come?
Yeah, so Toucan Creek was one that it's a kilometer and a half away from Mazoa Hill. We went there and we got some really high grade surface results and trenches up to 38 grams a ton. Gold in rock chip samples at surface, and we saw exactly the same kind of rocks that we have at Mazoa Hill. So we were very encouraged by that, which is what caused us to go in there and drill. But we do have work progressing at the other prospects as well, and we've done some trenching that we're just waiting for results to come back from. But we'll be putting out those results when they come in and lining those up to drill targets, as you say, later in the year.
What is the overall drill program, at least right now? Let's call it the initial or phase one drill program that sounds like it's still underway.
Yeah, well, so at the moment, the drill is turning back on Mazoa Hill. Because as I said, that intercept of 50 meters at 9.1 grams is essentially open to depth and to the east. So we're following up on that right now. And that program is scheduled at 7, 7 drill holes, and then we'll take a pause for a couple of weeks, wait for results to come in, and then line up more drilling. As I mentioned, we have trench results from some of the other areas coming in, Throne, Kimberley, and Success Creek. And depending on how those look, we may go back to Mazoa Hill or move to test one of those.
Okay. Well, Leo, there's a lot of work going on at the Maruti project at all those different targets. So we'll keep following along as more drill results hit the news wires and as more assays come back. But let's also move over to the next project the company holds, which is the Arakaka project. A couple different interesting targets there too, and some historic drilling. Just walk us through a high level of what's been done on this Arakaka project thus far, and what is the plan moving forward?
Yeah, so this is a large land package. It's 177 square kilometers. Over $25 million has been spent on it by past operators, who include Newmont, Barrick, Nord Gold. So big companies have gone in here. They all recommended further drilling. Two areas were drilled, Gomez and Xenops, which came up with drill intercepts like 3.4 grams gold over 19 meters at Gomez and 16.4 grams gold over 3 meters at Xenops. And there's a couple of areas with soil anomalies and trenches. One is McCaw, which has 20.5 meters at 3 grams gold that hasn't been drilled in a trench. And Avio is the other area that has 22 meters at 2.15 grams gold in a trench. So those are areas we feel we could go and drill straight away. But before we do that, we're just trying to compile all the data, and we may consolidate the property package there, but we do plan on drilling that before the end of the year.
Leo, can you give us any more insights onto why this project has been passed around through so many companies, including some of the majors? From my research, this project has been in companies' hands since the 80s, but again, hasn't really been, I guess, fully explored. Why is that?
Well, I think it's, you know, this happens a lot on mining projects. Often major companies drop individual projects for reasons that have nothing to do with the project, such as they're trying to balance their geopolitical risk, so they're pulling out of a country, or, you know, the market or the gold price is down that particular year, so exploration budgets are being cut. As you know, often the discovery stories are on properties that have passed through hands of many companies. Just nobody drilled that discovery hole in the previous iterations.
Well, it'll be interesting, since you have four solid targets there with the Avio, Gomez, Xenops, and Macaw, just to see which targets get the priority as you decide to drill that by the end of the year. Let's move over to the third project the company holds, though, that has also been drilled by some, I would say, majors, and that's the Fish Creek property. I think Golden Star, Val Gold, and IM Gold have worked on this property previously. What has you animated about the Fish Creek property?
Well, Fish Creek is another large land package, about 60 square kilometers. It has numerous high-grade shear zones within it. Previous drilling intercepted grades like 11.4 grams gold over 7 meters or 2.8 grams gold over 3.1 meters. A large amount has been mined out of it by historic artisanal miners, just mining at surface, probably over 100,000 ounces. Our president and CEO, Hilbert Shields, was VP Exploration for Golden Star, who was one of the previous operators, as you noted. And he's kind of had this project in his back pocket and liked it. So it's his feeling about it and the results that have come out of it. And again, it's one of these projects that really just hasn't seen enough exploration and has a lot of potential. So that's how that's kind of come about.
What are the plans for this year then at Fish Creek in terms of exploration, either drilling or some more surface work?
Yeah, so what we plan to do here is some geophysics, and then compile the data, and we would hope to be drilling before year end again. There's no real reason not, you know, there's no kind of permitting issues or workability issues, seasonal workability issues on any of the projects. So the plan is to drill all of them before the end of the year.
Well, Leo, since this is your first time on the KE Report, it'd be great if you could share your background in the mining industry. And then also, you know, you mentioned some of the key team members there having worked with majors in the past. Just highlight maybe anybody else on the team that you feel will help move these projects forward and bring some experience to the table.
Sure. Well, I mean, all the team is helping bringing the projects forward and making the company successful. I'm a geologist. I've been working in the industry for over 25 years. I worked for a major for 10 years, and I've been working with principally Ross Beaty and the Lumina group of companies. With Ross, this is Golden Shield is my first time really working outside of that with the Inventor group. Hilbert Shields, who I mentioned, is the president and CEO. And Hilbert, as I said, was VP exploration for Golden Star, which was born out of Guyana. He sourced the projects for Golden Star and managed them, you know, and Golden Star became a very large company. And so Hilbert was also a geologist. He's Guyanese and Canadian, spends most of his time in Georgetown working on our projects. Another key person is Colin Porter, who's the VP exploration, who has 25 years experience in West Africa, working in the same rocks as we have in Guyana, which is why his experience is very applicable. So he's just come across the Atlantic and is now working in the same rocks with us in Guyana. But his expertise in those rocks is really proving to be very important. And then the other person I would just highlight is on our board. We have Alison Redford, who is the ex-premier of Alberta. And she was interested in the company because she's been doing some work in Guyana because of the oil and gas industry that is booming there right now. So she has relevant experience from Alberta. So those are the people I would highlight on the team.
Let's also talk about share structure, because one thing that caught my eye early on coming out of the gate here, the company does have an attractive share structure. We see a lot of companies come out when they list with a lot of shares, sometimes 100 million plus shares. The company, as I'm seeing here, as of March 23rd, so pretty much the end of March, had little over 28 million shares outstanding, little over 33 million shares on a fully diluted basis. Can you share with us any of the insiders or any key other stakeholders that do hold a significant portion of these shares, please?
Well, management holds approximately 30% of the shares. There's a number of mining entrepreneurs in Vancouver and elsewhere who hold pretty significant positions, and the Inventor group also holds a fairly significant position, as you know, this company is part of their group. So you're right, we've been very protective of the share structure and tried to keep it really, really tight, you know, because I think that's the way you really move a share price if you have success. And, you know, in terms of how much of that is free trading, the answer is not very much, because as I said, you know, it's with insiders or it's with people who are long-term investors.
Yeah, Leo, it's nice to see the tight float. And then if you do have some success with the drill bit, that gives the company the potential to really move the dial on the share price. Just remind everybody what kind of cash the company has in the treasury and what the budget will be for this year's exploration program.
Well, we currently have about $1.5 million in the budget, which would keep us drilling for probably 5 or 6 months if we chose to go that far. But we probably will be financing in the middle of the year and reviewing based on that. But we plan to keep at least one drill turning permanently to keep everything moving along. And we may go to more than one drill.
What sort of drill costs are you experiencing in Guyana? Can you share with us some of the, I guess, financials around just how expensive it is to drill in Guyana?
Yeah, so in terms of direct drill costs, it's around about $150 US a meter, which is, to be honest with you, is surprisingly cheap. It's cheaper than I expected when we started going into the country.
Now, Leo, I guess just to wrap it up real quick, in terms of news flow, there is the drill still turning. So drill results still coming. What should investors, or what do you want investors to focus on as the company progresses through this year?
Well, I think there's probably four things. One is Mazoa Hill, where we have that inset we've talked about, and we're stepping out on that and trying to grow that historic resource, and then we'll bring it into compliance under 43-101 when we kind of have our arms around it. The second thing is working through those eight prospects and adding to them on the Marudi prospect, which we'll do with, you know, as they become drill ready, we'll drill test them as we did at Toucan Creek. The third is Arakaka and Fish Creek, which, as I say, we're moving towards drill stage and plan on drilling before the end of the year. And the fourth is we're looking for other projects in Guyana. We're very active on that front. You know, we're trying to build a a larger portfolio with deals that, that make sense economically. So we're going to watch that space on that, but that's the intention there.
Okay, Leo, we'll wrap it up here. I will post a link to the Golden Shield Resources website, so all of you listening can go through the website, go through the presentation. If you have any follow-up questions for Leo or want more information on any aspect of the company, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. We will get those answered for you, and we will also follow up with Leo as some more news, especially drill results, hit the market. Leo, thank you again for your time, and please keep us up to date on future news.
Will do. Thanks very much.